Blacks and Whites Together. Birmingham, Testament of Nonviolence, Part 6.
Birmingham, a good town if you live right.
It's nice to have you in Birmingham.
It's nice to have you in Birmingham.
It's nice to have you in Birmingham.
Nice to have you in Birmingham.
It's 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 nice to have you in Birmingham.
Nice to have you in Birmingham.
Oh, it's nice to have you in Birmingham.
Oh, it's nice to have you in Birmingham. Well, it's nice to be here anyway.
If you Northern Yankees would stay out of this thing, it'd be all right.
Birmingham is a poor excuse for a city. I like to tell those people in New York that this is a poor excuse for a city.
Present to you the man that God has given us to lead us out of the wilderness of Egypt, Martin Luther King. Thank you very kindly for these heartwarming applause. When the historians of the future write about the 20th century, they will have to write about Birmingham, Alabama, and they will have to write about the magnificent expressions of dignity and the magnificent nonviolent protests of the Negro citizens of this community. Now we have come to a point in our struggle here in Birmingham that is most significant. I think I said when I came here along with Ralph Abernathy that we would be with you in this community until we could see the walls of segregation crumbling down and falling down. And I'm happy to report to you this afternoon that we have commitments that the walls of segregation will crumble in Birmingham, and they will crumble soon. Now let nobody fool you. These walls are not crumbling just to be crumbling. They are breaking down and falling down because in this community more people have been willing to stand up for freedom and to go to jail for that freedom than any city and any time in the United States of America. That is a song that we have been singing in this movement, and it goes like this: ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. And because you were able not only to sing that song, but because you were able to face howling and jeering mobs, because you were able to face hungry, violent dogs, because you were able to face Bull Connor's white tank, because you were able to face the water with all of its surging power from the fire hose, the walls of segregation are going to crumble here in Birmingham, Alabama.
Well,
Now, we had four things, and I want to go over them very briefly with you, that we requested when we started this struggle. First, we asked that all of the facilities of the stores downtown would be desegregated. Now, you know what facilities we speak of. If you go downtown as a Negro citizen of Birmingham, you will find segregated lunch counters, and in some instances, no lunch counters for Negroes. You will find colored water and white water. You will find colored fitting rooms or no fitting room for colored and white fitting rooms. And then you will find other facilities that are segregated, such as the restrooms, colored, white. Now, in not too many days from now, you will be able to go downtown and eat lunch anywhere that you want to eat. We've said we are tired of Negroes not being able to get jobs on the basis of merit. We have nothing to look forward to. The leaders of the business and industrial community have come together and they've said that they will upgrade and employ Negroes throughout the industrial complex of this community. You know, when you go downtown not too long from now, you will see Negro clerks in all of the major stores. Now, Dr. Abernathy will go through these things with you, and I'm sure he will discuss the last two points, because we can't stop with all of these things, as nice as they are, and this is a great advance for Birmingham. But we must make it clear that we are against segregation, and we can't stop at this point. We must work here and cooperate together until all of the barriers of segregation have been broken down, until there is integration in schools, and until the parks are open. All of these things still stand before us. And we are going to work together, and we're going to pray together and struggle together until this problem is solved. So I can only say to you, the marvelous demonstrators and lovers of democracy and those who follow this, that we are going to stay together until this problem is solved. Walk together, children. Don't you get weary. There's a great camp meeting in the promised land of freedom.
Now, my friends, today in Birmingham, we can say as never before, and I want every one of you to stand on your feet now and say it with me. Because of what has happened, we can say as we have never said from the depths of our hearts, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to this republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now, Dr. King talked with you concerning an agreement that we have made with the business and industry leaders here in the city of Birmingham, Alabama. Now, I might say that the only reason Reverend Fred Shuttlesworth is not here at this hour is because he had to be taken back to the hospital. You know that he was injured. And he had to be hospitalized at Holy Family. He could not be hospitalized at the Baptist Hospital here in Birmingham because it is segregated. He had to be hospitalized in a Catholic hospital. Fred Shuttlesworth has worked hard. He's been beaten down. He's been deserted. Oftentimes he's been criticized not only by white people but by Negroes.
Amen.
Amen. And many times the ministry have deserted him.
That's right.
And left Fred and one or two others to stand alone.
That's right.
But nobody could turn him around.
Amen.
Bull Connor and everybody did everything to turn him around. He's in the hospital now, but I think we ought to give 3 chairs for Shuttlesworth. Come on, Shuttlesworth, Shuttlesworth, Shuttlesworth. We love Shuttlesworth. We love Shuttlesworth. We love Shuttlesworth. Now, Dr. King told you that the business and industry leaders have agreed to desegregate their lunch counters, their fitting rooms, their restrooms, and their water fountains within 90 days.
Amen.
The mass meetings will continue, and so will the protests. The selective buying campaign. We got to stay out of downtown and make sure that they plan to live up to these agreements. And if they go back on a single agreement, we plan to march as never before. Now, what are you to do on Sunday?
Go to church.
Go to church. Go to church. And go to Sunday school, isn't that right?
Yeah.
And you know things have changed here in Birmingham. You don't have to go to the same old churches over and over again. But if you go to church, number one, you want to be dressed properly. Isn't that right? And you want to have some money in your pocket. Isn't that right? To put in the offering tray. You want to have your hair fixed right. Be looking good. Feeling good and smelling good. Be kind and be courteous. Shake hands with the people who worship beside you. And shake hands with the preacher who greets you at the front of the church. Now, if they ask you to leave, then quietly and orderly leave. Have them to know that you did not come to create a disturbance. You merely came to worship Almighty and Eternal God. And you thought that this was a church for all people. But if they deny you the right to worship there, you will leave in an orderly fashion. But if they receive you as they have at the First Baptist Church and some other churches, then go right in and take your seat and worship in an orderly manner.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Freedom. 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 Freedom.
The Imperial Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, Robert Shelton.
And just let me remind you of this, that irregardless of what the news media says, irregardless of what television, Martin Luther King, or the business people say, Martin Luther King has not gained one thing in Birmingham. Because the white people are not going to tolerate the meddlesome, conniving, manipulating moves of these professional businessmen. And as far as these churches, on the basis of being Christian brothers and accepting them into the church, when in the God's world can a preacher go into the Bible and say that God wanted to bring forth the amalgamation of the race? Had he done so, there would not be a white and a black and a red and a yellow race today. And it is time that the people, it doesn't hurt to face ridicule and shame. I've faced it many times, but I'm convicted I'm right, and I'm willing to face it. And it certainly wouldn't take any individual in a church to stand up and tell that minister to return to the scriptures of God and preach Christianity instead of the Judeo-Christian applied Christianity principle. Amen. In these goals, we have to disregard the doctored up slogans and sayings of race, creed, and color, and naturality, because we've got to commit ourselves to the problems at hand. And if you do not have the pride in self-preservation, we will go down in history as many of the other great republics have, and the other great so-called democratic form governments. We will fall to the grip of amalgamation of the races. Study your history, and just remember that any great nation in existence that accepted desegregation and allowed their race to be amalgamated met forth destruction, and the walls of the democratic government crumbled to the ground and is non-existent. So it is up to you, ladies and gentlemen, as to whether or not you want to preserve this particular type of government and so forth that we are enjoying it these days. It is up to you to have the willpower and the initiative to put forth an all-out effort in bringing forth everyone that you possibly can to the rallying point. And let's stand up behind the little fighting judge in Montgomery who says he will stand up for Alabama.
Shall overcome.
Thank you, Your
Lordship. I think that the white population of Birmingham has remained very calm and everything all through this, and I don't think that there'll be any trouble with white mobs and white riots.
I think the colored people have certain rights, and of course, I think they're overstepping their bounds and doing what they are doing. But as far as their rights, I think they're getting them already. They're getting equal rights with the whites, but separate. And I think the majority of the native Negroes are satisfied with what they're having. It's the outsiders and a few from around here are inciting the riots and so forth.
In a way, I'm glad it happened. It's always better to have things brought out into the open. I think it gets things done faster, even though it's unfortunate people have to be hurt. Still, I think in the long run, things will be better for having been brought out in the open. It may seem late dating compared to other places, but for Birmingham, it's quite a step. We always thought this would be the last city to ever really take any active steps.
It's a problem that's going to have to be handled from a more realistic viewpoint than they're taking on it. People think it's a joke. Especially the leaders of Birmingham think they're still not taking it as serious as they should.
I was raised in southern Alabama, where the Negroes down there are completely uneducated altogether, where Negro women have illegitimate children just so they can live from welfare. I've just been raised around very poor Negro conditions, and for this reason, my viewpoint on integration would be that our blood would someday mix, and thoughts like this tend to make my stomach turn. I never want to see anything like that happen.
Well, I have a lot of feelings about it, but I'm not able to articulate them very well. I have a basic belief in every man's right to as much freedom as possible. I think the whole situation is completely absurd, but I would never even though I think it's unfortunate there has to be so much violence, I certainly couldn't condemn anyone for it because I don't have any better solution. It's so ugly. I lived in New York for a while, and it was so beautiful. I went to a public school there, and everybody was so accepted without regard to superficial things like color. It was so beautiful. And here it's so ugly. And I think it's merely a matter of conditioning. It's so absurd.
When Jesus came to Birmingham, they simply passed him by. They never heard a hair of him, they only let him die. For men had grown more tender, and they would not give him pain. They only just passed down the street and left him in the rain. Still Jesus cried, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And still it rained, the winter rain that drenched him through and through. The crowds went home and left the streets without a soul to see. And Jesus crouched against a wall and cried for Calvary.
We must have faith in our movement. And another thing that we must realize, this is not a racial conflict, basically. I want you to understand me here. That we are not going to allow this conflict in Birmingham to degenerate into a struggle between black people and white people.
Amen.
The tension in Birmingham is between justice and injustice.
Yeah.
The tension in Birmingham is between the forces of light and the forces of darkness. Now, when you put the struggle on that level, you welcome consciences and you enlist consciences in the struggle.
We have with us tonight Reverend Paul L. Stagg, Minister, Division of Evangelism of the American Baptist Home Mission Society, Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. At this time, we'll hear words of greetings from him tonight.
Thank you so much for giving me the privilege of being here in this victory service and of having a part in bringing a word of testimony. I'd like to say, first of all, I was born in the South. I was born in Louisiana. Yeah. I grew up, I'm afraid, pretty ignorant and pretty prejudiced, like many white people. And I didn't know the truth. But when I went into the ministry of our Lord, I began to get my eyes open.
Yes.
And I began to see that in Jesus Christ, we are all one.
Yes.
And there is no color line.
Amen.
We belong to the same God.
Yes.
And we are all brothers of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Now, I would like to bear a word of testimony in behalf of all Christians of all races, and particularly of white people, who are very much with you, even though here in this city they seem to be strangely silent. I'm sure there are many Southern people who must be ashamed of dogs set upon colored people. It's a shame that cries out to heaven for redress. And I say to you, I apologize for it. I apologize for it. I think it's wrong. It's wrong. And it cannot be condoned. Now, may I just say one other little word? When I started to come down here, I'm a Baptist minister, and I guess my neighbors, my Jewish neighbors, knew that Baptist preachers didn't have very much money. So before I left, a couple of them came in, and my Jewish neighbors, the Krasners and the Lovitzes, and they gave me some money. And they said, "We'd like to go down to Birmingham with you, because the fight there is our fight." And so they gave me this money, and I want to share it with you.
Yeah, amen.
Because I believe deeply as they believe in your cause. And so I would like to make a little contribution here tonight in Christian love, in behalf of justice, in repentance for the sins of those of us who've held you down, and in the hope that God Almighty will use this and use all of our prayers and our work for victory in His kingdom. And so, Mr. Gardner, I'd like to give you this money, $100 for the talk.
Now we are fighting for... Some of you might not hear us. One time for Bull Connor.